want to share the fruits of his meditations with us. Every time I hear the word, the name Alex Gudzinski, a warm feeling comes in my heart. We're so grateful that he's able to be here and to share his thoughts with us on the Logos.
Dear brethren, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank the Lord for the opportunity of fellowshipping with thy people. And what a wonderful program we have. The subject matter is so wonderful. And as you know, it's the basis of our faith in God and his word, the great divine plan of the ages. And how wonderful it is that at this time we can have the subject of the Logos, the biography of our Lord Jesus from the past, present, and future. And we will, by divine grace and mercy, consider the Word of God in connection with our Lord's pre-existence. As you well know, many people do not believe that. And even Christian people that do believe that, he might convert it into the thought of incarnation, which is entirely misleading. And then there are others that say that if our Lord Jesus had a pre-existence, he must have been a God, the Father. And therefore, they exalt him from one extreme to another, which is not scriptural. But how wonderful it is to recognize that he is the Son of God. We know what the word son is in our human life, sons and daughters. And so likewise, the Lord uses human language to illustrate divine method of doing things. And so when we consider the Logos, it is such a wonderful subject. And I'm sure none of us can really touch upon all its aspects. But only briefly can we consider from some of these scriptures that are so beautiful. For instance, in John, the first chapter, we will consider these words. And in the Greek, especially in the dialogue, it is so beautiful when we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is, to many minds, misleading, thinking that Jesus was God. But as we know from certain translations, that Jesus was the Mighty One. Now the beginning, in the beginning was the Word. Now we also remember in Genesis, the first account, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This is not the beginning of this first verse in John, the chapter of John. This beginning is far beyond all that. Way, way back. So far back that I don't think any human being knows how far back this beginning started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. But this beginning of the Logos, and incidentally the Logos means a representative, an agent, a mouthpiece, a spokesman, one who speaks for someone greater. And so our Heavenly Father has used the Logos in the creation of everything in this universe. And this is amazing. And it is only by faith can we have that understanding. Without faith it is impossible to please God. As you remember too, Paul says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen with the natural eye. So you and I have faith in things that are not seen with the natural eye, but trusting in that precious Word of God, we look at the things of the past through the Scriptures. And so here we have these wonderful words of life. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In other words, it is the only direct creation of God. That is the only creative thing our Heavenly Father has done in connection with the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, a mighty one. And indeed, how mighty is our Lord Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. Can you imagine? I don't think we can imagine. We're just talking that way. We're using language that's very weak. Can you imagine God being alone in this vast space, if we can call it space? Someone had said that at one time, now we're using the word time, T-I-M-E, which is insignificant to what we're going to suggest. At one time, there was no time. No time. Time began when something was created. And this is the thought of the writer of John, that the Logos was created. Then time began in the beginning. These are such far-reaching views that we merely scratch the surface. Our human minds are not able to penetrate the divine arrangement of things. But we do have faith in these words. And we believe them, that God in the beginning created the Logos. And here we have, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Think of it. Doesn't that suggest a pre-existence of our Lord? You remember Jesus said in John, the 5th chapter, the 46th verse, He said to the Jews, "If you believe in Moses, you believe in Me, for he wrote of Me." Moses wrote about our Lord Jesus way, way back there in the early part of human history. And of course, they did not know what they wrote. They didn't understand fully. But they wrote by the Holy Spirit of God prophetically, talking about things to come. And not only things to come, but also things of the past. And so here we have that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Oh, when you stop to think of these words, in Him was life. I grant you, we cannot even penetrate the meaning of these words. But we use words, human words, to illustrate what is meant. In Him was life. Well, is there life in humanity? No, there's no life in humanity. It's death. Men are not living in the world. They're dying. And so when you see the John writing, in Him was life. Oh, what a full of meaning that is. That our Lord Jesus is the one who has life. Our Lord was holy, harmless, undefiled, the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews of some chapter. Holy. Perfect. He had to be a perfect human being. One thing about our Lord Jesus, in His pre-existence, and then His made to be made flesh, we understand. He had to be holy. He had to be perfect. It couldn't be, no human being from Adam, born in Adam, could give a ransom for his brother, because he did not have life. Anyone born in Adam has not life. And so you can see that our Lord Jesus, in Him was life. He had to be begotten by the Father, through the Mother Mary, earthly being, to brought forth and to be that great sacrifice. a corresponding price. It had to be. Nothing else could purchase the human family. And so in him, his life. And the life was the light of men. The life. It hasn't been up to this far, has it? But it will be the light of men in the not only to the church, but also eventually to the world. The life of men. How grand and how wonderful it is when we recognize these scriptures. They have such a far-reaching view of the past, present, and future. And a light shineth in darkness. Isn't that true? This world is a sin-dark world. Sin-dark world. Weeping endureth for a night. And what a night it is. And as we grow older, we begin to see the greatness of this night. And how terrible this world is in all its ways and methods and doings. And when we were talking about our Lord Jesus, the second advent, before, in the type, before the world will recognize the light of the world, there has to be a dark night on this planet Earth before the light will shine to all the families of the earth. Isaiah 21:12. The morning coming cometh, so also the night. And then after that, it will be the light to all the families of the earth. And the darkness comprehendeth not. Even our Lord Jesus, who came to his own people, the Jewish race, they came to his own, and his own received them not. What a mysterious way of doing things. But our Heavenly Father knows just what to do. He knows that the permission of sin and death will accomplish his will by the conditions that exist in mankind. He will create in them. He knows that there's some faith in some human beings. And by their faith, when you think of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them, by their lives and their experiences in life, they create a type and shadow of the future. Isn't that marvelous? Known unto God are all his works. And so despite the darkness comprehendeth not, we know that eventually they will. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The writer goes on. The same came to a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. Now John the Baptist is the one referred to. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knoweth him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received them, gave he power to become the sons of God. Gave him the opportunity to become the sons of God. The world of mankind was not sons of God. They were children of wrath, rebels, as some of the scriptures imply. But to be the son of God, or to be sons of God, we know that when Jesus came, that there were some given the privilege of becoming the sons of God. The early church, the apostles, and others that had come, then they became sons of God. But under the law given to the nation of Israel under Moses, they were not sons of God. They were servants of God. So you can see the difference between the Jewish age. They were merely servants of God. But now in the gospel age, it can become the sons of God, united with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood, there is no remission of sin. And how it is necessary that blood should be shed before any blessings could come. And so our Lord Jesus is that great light that will eventually light all the families of the earth. And then the writer goes on, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Which were born not of blood, not the fallen humankind, not born in Adam, but our Lord Jesus was begotten of God. And he continues to say, and the Word was made flesh. The Logos was made flesh. We do not understand the principle of life, that in this transaction, how our Heavenly Father could do that. But evidently, the life principle was not cut off. When our Lord Jesus was transferred from the heavenly courts to be born in the flesh. This is something far beyond our ability to understand, but we understand, but we have faith in it, that that must have happened, because an imperfect man could not ransom the human family. Only a perfect human being. So the Logos, that great Logos who created all things. You know, when you stop to think of the creating of all things, what a tremendous avenue that is. This planet Earth, we as creatures on this planet Earth, We're merely ants, using that illustration, on this planet Earth. But our planet Earth is just a little speck in this Milky Way. And the suns of this Milky Way, this island universe, as it were, this galaxy of which we're in, the Milky Way. There are millions of suns in the Milky Way. And they have their planetary system. And this galaxy is only one galaxy of possibly millions others. And I can see, as one had said, that there are galaxies of galaxies of galaxies out in this universe. The astronomers can only see a little corner of space, if we can use that language. You and I only see a little bit. And what is this planet Earth? And as the psalmist says, Psalm 102, verses 19 and 20, for he, our Heavenly Father, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to release those appointed unto death. As we mentioned before, what is this planet Earth? Merely a speck. And yet, brethren, they were created through the Logos. Made flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, that now the word only begotten takes a new significance. Only begotten of God. The only direct creation of our Heavenly Father was the Logos. Full of grace and truth, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is before me. And John the Baptist said, For he was before me. Well, when you look at it from the human standpoint, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. From the human, earthly point of view, John the Baptist was before our Lord Jesus. But what did John the Baptist mean? I think he recognized in some way that he was the Messiah and that he was before him in creation. I also think, brethren, just think of the apostles in the first advent, looking at Jesus, traveling with him, talking with him. And when I think of it, here's a being who had a previous existence, the Logos. And here he is, made flesh. Not that our Lord Jesus took on the body as a covering. Some preach that he was still a spirit being. No. He was made flesh. Took the human form in its perfection. And as we know, that sacrifice is not just to be a sacrifice, but a sinless sacrifice. There's the difference. There are many sacrifices, but is it a sinless one? The animals of the Jewish type in the Old Testament, the animals, the bullock and the goat, and the animals that were sacrificed there by Moses, they were not sinless. They were animal sacrifice. And Paul says, the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. But our Lord Jesus, the perfect one, sacrificed his all. A sinless one. A perfect one. Oh, how grand it is to see these beauties of the truth. For of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses during the Jewish age. The law was incumbent upon the Jewish people, and they had promised that they would keep it, but they did not. And therefore they had an extra penalty upon them. And that's why Jesus had to become a Jew, to take away the responsibility of that fulfilling the law. And so our Lord Jesus was made a curse. He took Adam's place. Now, brethren, how wonderful it is that even Jesus, after he was glorified, even in Revelation, we have these words in the third chapter of 14th verse. John the Revelator, through the administration of our Lord Jesus, mentions, And unto the church of the Laodicean write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Here again the reference to our Lord's pre-existence. Now let us also consider some of what things that Jesus said. In John, the 6th chapter, he mentions things about himself. That is, our Lord Jesus. This is a wonderful account about our Lord Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 people. Loaves and fishes. They wanted to make him a king. But Jesus quickly told the disciples to get into the boat, and that lake, Galilean in Galilee, they had to cross in the evening, cross the lake, and they only got halfway, and it was night. And then Jesus appeared unto them in the morning. And immediately when he got into the boat, Peter, he lifted Peter up because he wanted to walk on the water. He took a hold of Peter, brought him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore. All very significant. But then the next day they were looking for Jesus. And they found him in a little town nearby, in connection Capernaum, a little town of Capernaum. And he was in the synagogue preaching. And Jesus mentions unto them that were looking for him, he said, he knew them. Of course, he knew what they were thinking. He said, ye come for the loaves and fishes. And so our Lord began to explain to them. And especially, this is so appropriate at the memorial that we're approaching. Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. What a statement to make. And that was so hard for them to understand. And they even rebelled against that statement. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. That is against the law. No human blood is to be drunk by anyone or eat the human flesh. But why did Jesus say that? He said that because he knew what they were after. He knew that they were looking for the loaves and fishes. He knew that that's all they looked for, earthly things. But our Lord Jesus spoke these wonderful truths. Thank you, brother. Thank you. But our Lord Jesus spoke these wonderful truths. And in that account it said many said, this is a hard saying, even his disciples. This is a hard saying. And they walk no more with him. And then Jesus said, if they could not accept him as the Messiah, then Jesus said in the 62nd verse, this is something. Our Lord Jesus must have known his pre-existence. You remember at the 12 years of age, Jesus said to the family, wished ye not I was about my Father's business? The mother must have explained to him that he was a special child, one that was begotten of God, not by human arrangements. And then our Lord Jesus' baptism at the age of 31. There was 18 years gone by, at the age of 30. Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan. And you remember, the heavens opened up to him. What does that mean? Oh, all these beautiful scriptures of the Old Testament. You know, they didn't have the New Testament. We have it. But they didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. And so the heavens opened unto him. There our Lord Jesus, begotten of the Spirit, began to understand all these types and shadows. And he learned quickly because of his perfect memory and ability to discern and use judgment. He quickly discerned that he was that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the heavens opened unto him. And our Heavenly Father, the voice, an angelic voice, this is my well-beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased, my only begotten Son, whom I'm pleased. This must have been a comfort to our Lord Jesus. And he also had Gethsemane, another experience, the 12th chapter of John. But now our Lord Jesus is talking to these disciples. And he said, they walked away. There were very few left. And Jesus said, "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" So our Lord Jesus had an inkling of his pre-existence. He had a knowledge of what had happened before. I do not understand. We cannot understand the fullness of all this, but we believe it, that our Lord Jesus had a pre-existence. See? How interesting it is. And just to finish the account in John the 6th chapter, and then Jesus said to the disciples, to the apostles, "Will ye also go away?" And then Peter said something that is very true. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." How beautiful. And that's our own conviction. Where shall we go, brethren? Does the world have any blessings for us? Oh, no, no, no. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." The greatest pleasure any human being can find is to be united with our Lord Jesus and to devote and consecrate his life to the Lord. That's the only salvation anyone can have. Although we know it, during this gospel age, that it is the calling of the church, that is the mystery hid from ages and generations, but now made manifest to the saints. But even in the millennial age, full consecration will still be in order. And there's that presence of the Lord. And so you and I, considering these wonderful lessons of our Lord Jesus in his pre-existence and his coming to earth and his glorification later on, I do not want to get into the subject that the other brethren will talk about, but nevertheless, I'm thinking of what the psalmist says in 94th Psalm and the 19th verse. "In the meditation of my thoughts, thy comforts delight my soul." Isn't that true? In the meditation of my thoughts, in me, within me, thy comforts, the scriptures, the divine purpose, the plan of God, the salvation of the world in all its wonderful teachings, delight my soul. And so we can see, as Peter says, "To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now let us turn to the 8th chapter of John. There is another interesting account of our Lord Jesus when he was talking to the Jews. They question, the Jews question our Lord Jesus, whether he was the Son of God. Oh, that's a strong statement to make. Son of God. And then the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death." That's the 8th chapter, 52nd verse. "Art thou greater than our fellow, than our father Abraham, which is dead?" "And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" What are you making of yourself? Who do you think you are in common language? Huh? As you notice in the previous verse, the 48th chapter, then answered the 48th verse rather, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Think of it. Think of what they said unto him. "You're a Samaritan." And a Samaritan, you know, is a mixed race. Remember the Jesus at the well and the Samaritan woman. Beautiful lessons. Thou hast a devil.
Oh, my goodness. If they only knew who they were talking to. But they didn't know. Who makest thou thyself? 53rd verse. And then 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. By myself, I'm nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Notice our Lord Jesus said, my Father. He didn't say Joseph was his father. My Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, in his sixth chapter, again, of John, the 38th verse, I came down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. The Heavenly Father sent him. John 3:16, we're all familiar with that. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The Logos, pre-existence of it. Think of our Lord Jesus, what he did. He wasn't Jesus when he was a Logos. He was the Son of God, a mighty one, spiritual nature, next to the Father. A mighty one. And think of it. He was willing to come down. The Father had made arrangements with him. And Jesus, that is, we call him Jesus, that he came down, begotten by our Heavenly Father, and brought forth by his mother Mary to become flesh. You remember Paul suggested something in Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Set before him. The Father has set before him some divine plan and purpose. And I think that that plan and purpose was to purchase the human family through the shedding of that sinless life. And by doing that, restore the human family in the kingdom. That was the joy that was before him. What a wonderful Logos he must have been with the Father. And as Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do it. I seek to do it. Remember, he knew the time was coming for the end of his life. With desire had I desired to partake of this memorial before I suffer. Desire. Eager. Eager. You know what it is to be eager? And our Lord Jesus was eager, willing to lay down his life. Oh, how pleasing that must have been. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, I talked with a brother. Oh, incidentally, Dominic Destro, I talked with him. He wanted to be remembered to everybody. But anyway, I talked with him about that. He wanted to know. You know, it's not pleasing to a father to have his son crucified. You know, from a human standpoint. But how much better it is when we consider that verse. It purposed the Lord to bruise him. It was a divine purpose. Now, Abraham, when he offered his son Isaac, I don't think it was easy for him. Think of it, brother. If you have a son, would you take him up symbolically Mount Moriah. Oh, this is something. Oh, how wonderful is our Heavenly Father. How great is His love for mankind, willing to give up His Son. And so, let us continue. Time, oh my goodness, time, it's gone by. So we must consider some of these words. Jesus answered, I honored myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that ye are your God. Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. Jesus knows the Heavenly Father, He's been with Him. I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know Him and keep His saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Oh, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, meaning the kingdom of Christ in the restoration and the blessing of all the families of the earth. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Huh? No wonder they could not understand. And yet that was true, what Jesus said. Brethren, there are many more scriptures, and you know them. But I must say, even in connection with our Lord Jesus, even the place where He was to be born, Bethlehem, it is mentioned in Micah, the 5th chapter, 2nd verse. But thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall come faith unto me, that it is to be ruler in Israel. Now these are the words I want to refer. Whose going forth hath been from old. Whose going forth had been from old. With the Father in the creation of this universe. And so, brethren, again, much more is in the Scriptures. But how grateful we are that we can discern that the only begotten Son, through Him, everything that was created by Him. And in Colossians it says, for Him. Isn't that something? Everything that was created for the Logos. When you consider the divine plan and purpose, everything was for Him. Isn't that beautiful? And now I must close, brethren. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. How grand is all the divine plan and purpose of God. Everything centers in our Lord Jesus according to the eternal purpose. God has a purpose in this life. I've often thought, brethren, you know, you serve at funerals, one funeral after another. Is this there is to life? Is this all there is? No. Thank God for calling us out of the world of darkness. That there is a purpose in our Lord Jesus according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. And so, brethren, I didn't mean to get involved with some of the thoughts of the next discourse, but you can't help it sometimes. It is so involved. But the Logos, our Lord Jesus became flesh that He might purchase the world and bring blessings to all the families of the earth. Now again, the Lord bless you and keep you. May these thoughts of the Logos be elevating and encouraging to you that all things shall be fulfilled in God's due time. And may their Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Alex. What a wonderful subject. What an inspiring presentation. Brethren, we are so grateful to be here, away from the cares of this world, to reflect on the things that are precious. But you know, we should not forget some of our brethren who are not as fortunate as we are. Therefore, we will make a suggestion in just a moment to you.